The Tshuvas HaRashba in the Chelek Aleph Siman Samaches was asked about a shivcha that works in a Jewish home. Now, the word shivcha here has a lot of baggage, and we'll have to explain very clearly that a shivcha nowadays is not necessarily a shivcha in the time of the Rishonim, the time of Chazal. So he notes two kulas. Well, he only notes one kula, but there are two kulas brought in the Rishonim regarding a shivcha. The first is the Shita of the Ra'ah and the Berak HaBayis in Beda Gimel in Shar Zion, who felt that the bishul done by a shivcha, the bishul done by this non-Jewish servant, the entire issue is one of chasnas, of marriage. And therefore, since there's no kir of hadas, why? Because when you ask the shivcha to do something, the idea of kir of hadas means that this person cooks something for you, and then you, in return, will feel some sort of affection to them because they did something for you, because you feel indebted that they did something for you. But, by the case of a shivcha, when the shivcha cooks for you, she has to do it whether she likes it or not. Or he has to do it whether he likes it or not. He doesn't really have any choice. And therefore, since it's against their will, it's beratzon over lo ratzon, whether they want to cook or not, you're not going to feel indebted to them because it doesn't matter, because you don't really care if they want to do it or not. And therefore, when it comes to a shivcha who has no choice, there is no kir of hadas when they cook. That's kula number one, cited by the Ra'ah. The second is a tshuva of the Ramban. In the tshuvas hamiyuchasos, the Ramban, in Simon Reish Pedal, who says that the shivcha is owned by the Yisrael, and just like any case of an eved or a shivcha, in this case, we know that anything that the person does is if it belongs to the master themselves, and therefore, it's like you cooked it, and in addition, She has to keep Shabbos Midah Raisa, similar to on some level to a Jew, and therefore the case of the Shivcha would not apply also to Bishul Akum because it's not really like an Akum, and another reason to be lenient. The problem with this Tshuva that's attributed to the Ramban is that there's an earlier Tshuva in Kuf Mem Tes where the Ramban says that if the Shivcha cooks, it's also even B'diavad. But, okay, so we're unclear about the Shita of the Ramban, but at least we have a very clear Shita of the Ra'ah. So the Rashba has these two Mahalchim, and he says both of them don't make any sense. He says that we don't rely on these opinions, and therefore, the Shivcha cooks for you, he says it's Aser, and this Machlok is cited here in the Shulchan Aruch, right? The Mechaber is Machmer, the Ramah is lenient, and the Bir Hagar writes in Sifkas and Yud Aleph that it's only going to be lenient if it's, we can only be lenient if it's Bebeis Yisrael, if it's a Shivcha who cooks in a Jewish house. And regardless, this machlokas is not lemaisa nowadays, because the Shach and the Taz both point out that the shivcha has to be kanoi. You have to own the shivcha. And in the United States of America in 2015, that is against the law. And therefore, this is not applicable. This exact machlokas is not really applicable nowadays. However, there is an opinion of the Knesset HaGadola, Rav Chaim Benavista, who's a parish on the tour. So he says that b'shas hadachak, or b'diyaved, you can rely on the Ramban. You can be lenient, b'shas hadchak or b'diyaved. And this will play out that we will rely, therefore, on a guy who cooks, who's acting in the role as a shivcha, a housekeeper, something like that, someone who you have around the house, only in cases there are b'diyaved. Rabbi Olbam from Queens has a tshuva in his Minchas Chein, in Yerodeh Siman Dalet, where he says that b'diyaved, if something was cooked by the maid, so that you're allowed to eat it. But that doesn't mean l'chatchila. It doesn't mean you can tell the housekeeper every single day to prepare dinner. If one time the housekeeper prepared something, b'diyaved, you're allowed to eat it. But certainly not l'chatchila. In addition, Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachos in Chelek Tes, in Kufnan Tes, would allow a guy to cook for a chola or a zakein. Again, a case that's shas hadachak, a person who's unable to get food, you can have them cook for someone who is elderly or ill. And this is also the opinion of Asher Weiss in the Minchas Asher in Devarim Siman Hey, that Ashkenazim can be lenient for a chola to have a maid or someone like that cook for them. However, Sternbach writes in Shulchan Agos in Chelek Aleph in Tuf Lamed Tes that he thinks that even this kula is questionable nowadays, because again, the whole idea of the kula is that you have the housekeeper who's going to be underneath your watch. She's not going to go in and out of the house. She's not going to put some things that are not going to be kosher, and therefore you're going to be on top of that. But he says nowadays, if you leave the house at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you come back at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or night, and the housekeeper could do whatever she wanted all day, and no one was paying attention to what was going on in the kitchen, so where's the kula? Yeah.
I But isn't it worse in terms of Kira Hadass? Because now you're totally, completely dependent on him for Zaki and Rechol.
Why? Oh.
Because it's even more so, you can't do anything with that.
I don't know if we can qualify or measure what's more or less Kirav Hadas. I think Kirav Hadas is more established based on the, not necessarily the Jew, but more regarding the guy. If whatever this guy a person who we would feel in general indebted to. The Choler, the Zaken, is a unique case. It's a Shasat Chak, it's a B'diyev. It's not something that we're going to look at their individual case, whether we're going to see whether this person, because if that's the case, then you're going to say, well, you know, this person, you know, always has such a great sakar sato for everyone. You know, this person just loves everyone every single time they do something to them. They always give you a big thank you. So for people who give big thank yous, you know, for them, we're going to be more machmer. So I don't know if we can differentiate when it comes to the case of the Jew. Okay. The Chalkas Binyamin discusses issues of factory workers. We're going to get back to factory workers in a second, but in Sif Katan Lamed Hey, he's unsure whether they have the same status as a maid, and Rav Avadya and a famous tshuva regarding Sfardim and restaurants in the Abia Omer, in the Chavadas and Chelek Hey, in Simen Nun Dalad, so he will only use this idea of treating a factory worker as a shivch in this regard as a tzad lakula. We can combine this to treat factory workers as a shivcha only if we combine them with something else. Just to get that tshuva out of the way, Rav Avadya says that Sfardim don't really have a choice nowadays because the Ashkenazim are giving the hechsher on most of the restaurants. And he says, l'chadchila, if you're Sfardi, if you walk into an Ashkenazi restaurant, you should request that a Jew cook the food for you. But he says that's not going to really happen, so you can rely, he says, you can rely on the Ashkenazim. Rabbi Ganak, in the first volume of Masorah, says there's no issue with factory workers at all, and there's no Kirav Hadas, and he says there's nothing to discuss, everything is mutter. We'll get back to factory workers in a second. What's the issue with a base Yisrael, which is the next thing that's discussed in the Shulchan Aruch? So, that's a Tosfos Lamed Ches that I'm sure everyone saw. Machlokas seen Rav Avram ben Rabbeinu David. That is not the Ravid. Some of you might have been thinking it's the Ravid. It's not the Ravid. It's impossible. It's somebody else. Either of the three Ravids that you may have heard about in Jewish history. It's not either any of those three. It's somebody else. And between the Ravid and Rabbeinu Tam, Rav Avram ben Rabbeinu David says that if it's a Beis Yisrael in the house of a Jew, so there's no issue of chasnas because they're gonna be in your house, and there's no issue of feeding non-kosher things, and therefore there's no issue. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. He says, yes, there is an issue of chasnas. Yes, they may feed you something non-kosher, and therefore, even Beis Yisrael, one has to be machmer. The Mordechai writes in Siman Tuf Lamed, that the reason to be machmer, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is that there's simply a low plug on Bishul Akam. It's a low plug. Who cares where you are? I don't care if you're on a mountain, in a valley, in the water. It doesn't matter where you're cooking. There's a low plug. No matter where the guy cooks, it's going to be usher. So, how does this play out? The Mechaber, in the beginning of Sif Aleph, says that even if he cooks with a Beis Yisrael, right, he says, even if it is Afilu, Bekli Yisrael, Beis Yisrael, it's going to be usher. And the Ramah writes in Sif Dalid that we're going to be lenient to the Shicha cooks and a Beis Yisrael. So the Bir Agra says that you need to have both the Beis Yisrael and the Shicha together. You could be Mekel Lechadchil, the Taz is lenient as well. And Rav Shechter says that it's only going to apply in a home if the people are Shomer Torah Mitzvos. If the guy cooks in a home where people are not careful about kashrus, so that's not going to help you out because the guy who's cooking is not going to care if they mix non-kosher food in. It's only going to work in a Beis Yisrael that's Shomer Torah Mitzvos. So then you perhaps have a kula to have a guy cooking in a Beis Yisrael. Perhaps there is a leniency in that area. We'll return back to that again. Okay, but again, what are we assuming? Yeah.
Why is there no kiyudasim?
Because they're in your house, you're under control, they're working for you. The same idea by the shivcha in general. You're combining the tzirf of the shivcha, that there's no kirav hadas because they're working for you, combined with it being in a Beis Yisrael, that you know, it's under your watch, it's in your house, you're not going to feel anything close, it's like a worker. Again, the psychology of this is debatable b'zman hazeh, but this is the way the Shulchan Aruch was set up. Factories. What's the deal with factories? So, there's a tshuva of the Maritat in Siman Kuf Samach Aleph, which is cited by all the Achronim. This is in the tshuvos Yeshenos, the old tshuvos. If you look in the tshuvos Chadashos, it is not there. It is the old version of the Maritat. So he writes as follows. He says, when it comes to Bishul, there's a concept of Palter, which is against everything we've learned. When it comes to Bishul, there's a concept of a professional preparing something for you, and since the cook is involved in his job, in his umnus, in his work, there's no kirav hadas, and therefore, says the Maritats, you can have a guy cook something for you in a professional setting, and there is no problem. Everyone disagrees. The Prima Gadim, the Chidad Nebirka Yosef, and the Steichemet disagrees, and the Chazanish, and the Shulis Vanagos, everyone disagrees and says that the heter of a palter by pass is because it's chai nefesh, because everyone needs to eat bread. But not everyone needs to have soup, or whatever it is, and therefore, there's no idea to be lenient by a professional worker when it comes to food that is cooked. That is clear from the Yerushalmi in Shvias and the Avodah Zarah, and the Minchas Yitzchak in two places, in Chelek Gimel, and the Soros Tshuva will rely on the Maritats, this lenient opinion regarding factory workers, if it's a sniff lakula with something else. If you have other kulas involved, then it will rely on a factory worker. For example, steaming. We'll eventually get to the idea that perhaps steaming is not considered bishul when it comes to bishul akum. So if you have other kulas going on together with the factory worker, then there's room to be lenient when it comes to bishul akum. And Rabbi Omer and Chelakei and Rosh Sternbach as well will also use the Maritats as a sniff lakula, but not on its own. So you can't simply say, well, this is made in a factory, and therefore it's okay. There needs to be other mitigating factors as well to come along to allow the kula of the Maritats. What's the deal with Rav Moshe Feinstein's opinion? So there's a tshuva in Masorah Journal, Chelak Aleph, our favorite version of the Masorah Journal. So there, they quote from Rav Natsa Greenblatt from Memphis, quoting B'Shem Rav Moshe. This same idea is brought in the Riv Vos Ephraim in Chelak Hei, in Tav Kuf Tzadi Vav. That Rav Moshe felt two aspects about the factory. He said that the cooking process done in the factory is special and unique. It cannot be duplicated if it has special machines that only a factory could have, and therefore we won't consider it bishul in the sense of bishul akum. It's something that's unique and over there, not something that can be duplicated in your home, combined with the fact that you're never going to meet the factory worker. That the factory worker is somewhere in Pennsylvania, and you're never going to see him. So these two things together will allow us to be lenient. Rabbi First, in the Shirim on his website, says that there's a good hechshar on the food, so that takes care of the davar tamay, of non-kosher food getting into your food. And if it's not a local person, so there's no issue of chasnus. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, these two reasons will allow you to get out of the issue with the factory. Rabbi First, in his shiur, so he actually notes that his big regret when he was talking to Rav Moshe about this is that he didn't ask about whether Rav Moshe would be makel about pas palter during a seres mei tshuva based on this kula. He said that he forgot to ask him, and we'll never know, I guess, whether Rav Moshe would have taken this far enough that you could have had, you know, factory made cookies during a seres mei tshuva. Yeah. Because it's defining the bishul aspect. It's not a type of bishul that's relevant to the gzeira of Chazal. Chazal, we're talking about a bishul that is something that everyone can relate to. But a bishul that Chazal wouldn't have dreamed of, so that type of thing is not going to be affected.
Bishul only done in that fashion because they're mass producing.
That's right.
But if it was done, it could make that same product, say, in more... in a smaller proportion, they would be using the methods that we would use.
But they're not. In this case, they're using it on this very unique fashion to do it, and therefore it's not considered within what we would call bishul naz chazal. Again, it's hard to... Rav Moshe didn't write this in his own hand. It's hard to be medayik in, you know, what was said b'shem Rav Moshe, but this is what was said. On the other hand, there is a tshuva from Rav Sternbach, and the tshuva from Agos Chelakei in Reish Mem Tes, and he goes crazy. He says there's no such heter. How could Rav Moshe say such a thing? And he says the only type of heter that's reliable is something that's either raw or something that would not be olal shulchan malachim. And he says that the whole issue of the factory was with sardines, and none of the poskim, when they were discussing sardines, said that sardines are allowed because they're manufactured in the factory, and therefore he doesn't understand. And he says the psak of Rav Moshe is batel umavutel, chas v'shalom, one should rely on it. He says v'yesh hechsher mefursim ba'America. There's a famous hechsher in America, she'ein choshin lebishul akum b'moshe beis hacharoshas, that are not careful about bishul akum when it's made in a factory. Hayos v'somchal and divrei Rav Moshe Feinstein, and they're apparently relying on Rav Moshe. ha-charedim ba-America, the very pious people in America, einam somchem al-hechsher sheyesh bo-chashash mevusas al-svaranal. And anyone who's charedi would not rely on such a heter when it came to their hechsher. This is Rav Sternbach's very fiery words regarding Rav Moshe's heter. I have a kasha on Rav Sternbach because he relies on Rav Moshe's heter in another place. In Shuvas HaNagos Chelek Aleph, in Taf Lamed Ches, he relies on the fact that chocolate is made in a factory to allow you to say that chocolate is not bishlakum. And he says the same as Exvar of Moshe. So, I don't know what happened between Chelek Aleph and Chelek Hay. But he himself relied on Rav Moshe, without quoting Rav Moshe, but the same exact logic. So, Tzarechian on Rav Sternbach. Many of the kashrus agencies will rely on Rav Moshe, again, if it's combined, if it's mitzuruf, with other things along with it as well. So again, we have a number of kulas that are stiff and lahakal when they're used with other things, whether it's Beis Yisrael, whether it's a shivcha, whether it's a factory, all these things combine together to create certain kulas when it comes to bishul akum that is mass-produced. Let's discuss the issue of kavana for a second. It's not necessarily so nogea. I don't know how it comes up, but let's just cover it inside the Shulchan Aruch. So in Sif Hei, the Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Gemara on Lamed Ches, that a guy who cooked without kavana, so there's no problem with Bishul Akum. They bring the example of the guy who lights the swamp on fire with the grasshoppers. That's okay. In the case of the guy who burns the sheep's head and in the process cooks the head as well, those issues where he didn't have kavana to cook, but it turns out that he did cook, in those cases it's allowed. But for machmer in the case where the guy heated up the oven and didn't realize that a Jew's food was inside. You put your chalent in the oven, and the guy turned on the oven not realizing the chalent was in there, and it cooked. So in that case, we're not going to be makel. So what's the svar over here? So the Ra writes in the Berak HaBayis that in order for there to be chasness, there needs to be this kirv hadas, and since the kirv hadas needs to be both ways, it's not a one-way highway, it needs to be both ways. There needs to be kirv hadas from the guy and to you. And since the guy never realized what he did, so therefore, there's not going to be enough kirv hadas that's going to lead to anything problematic. And in the case of the oven, so that's simply just a low plug. There's a low plug, we don't differentiate, regarding how a proper bishul is done. When you have a proper bishul in an oven, so there's nothing to discuss. The guy cooks for you, and we don't differentiate. Only when it comes to these weird things, like lighting a swamp on fire, or burning calves heads, so in those cases, we'll be lenient without kavana. But when it comes to regular bishul, so there's a low plug, we don't differentiate, and even if the guy cooks your chomp by accident, so that would be a problem. There's a discussion in the poskim regarding whether the guy turns on the oven, not l'shem bishul. Let's say the guy turns on the oven because it's cold, and he wants to turn the oven to heat up the house. So there, the Rush and the Tour and the Chacham HaSadam all say that it's going to be Usur because there's a chashash that the guy may have had kavana when he turns it on. Maybe he was thinking about you. It's really cold in here, I need to turn on the oven, but I also want to cook Chaim Yankel's chalent at the same time, so maybe there's such a chashash that Beis Yosef is Mekel, and we're only relying on this in the case of Hefsim Meruba. Again, I don't know where this would come up, Bizman Hazed, that the guy would by accident cook something for you, but if it did, if you're going to lose out a lot of money, there's room to be lenient according to the Aruch HaShulchan and the Pri Chadash. This comes up sometimes, though. Let's say the power goes out, and you have something in the oven, or you have a chalent that you put in, and you leave it there, and then the power comes back on. So the power company, let's assume for a second the guy turned on the power in the power company. So does that mean when the guy flipped the switch or fixed the wiring that now you have an issue of bishul akum because now he's cooking for you in a regular derech but below kavana, right? That's the case that we're machmer for, a regular case of bishul below kavana. So they quote B'Shem Rav Yashiv and also in the Shevet HaKahasi in Chelek Hay, saying that we're going to be makel for two reasons. Essentially, that he didn't really have real kavana, will be makel like those who are like the Beis Yosef. In addition, this is like a case of grama. He's so far away, and it's not exactly turning it on, and therefore, if the power company turns on your chalent, it'll be fine to eat it later on. By Shabbos is another discussion, especially in Eretz Yisrael, but that's for another time. Okay, let's get now to the issue of pilot lights, which gets everybody very anxious. So, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Kuf Yud Gimel Vav, that you can be lenient as long as the Jew does any part of the cooking, and when the guy puts the food on the fire, or the Jew puts the food on the fire, or the Jew has any part in stirring it, or the process of the actual cooking, so we're going to be lenient. And the Ramah says that even if you don't do anything that impacts the cooking, Right? Even if you do something, you throw, you light the fire, right? So that would be sufficient as well. Now, the Gra is very bothered, and also is the Shach very bothered by the Ramah, because this seems to be going against the Shulchan Aruch, because the Gemara says that you have to impact the cooking of the guy. So where does the Ramah get this idea that what you do doesn't have to be poel to act directly on the food? And it's not entirely clear. Maybe there's Yerushalmi like the Ramah, but still, the Shach leaves it as a bit of a Tzarachian. And the Aruch HaShulchan, though, is lenient when it comes to a Jew turning on the fire. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says that turning on the fire for a goy only works for bread, right, and not for other foods. And it's also the opinion of the Shla. The Shla in the Shara Osios in Os Kuf and Kedushas Achila says as well that it only works by bread, and if a goy lights the fire for your food, it won't be sufficient as well. This is the opinion of the Sfardim, the Pri Chadosh, the Ziv Chei Tzedek, the Kaf HaChaim, our Machna as well, that this is sheet number one, that turning on the fire against the Ramah is not sufficient, and the guy has to do something actually to be poel, to act on the food itself. The Tur and the Ramah is sheet number two, they are lenient, and if you turn on the fire according to the Tur and the Ramah, that would be fine. And That would be fine, and there would not be an issue as well. The third shita is that of the Ran. The Ran in Avodah Zarah says, and this is cited here, this is hinted to by the Bir HaGra, but you have to look up the Ran to know what the Gra is saying. So the Ran says that adding fuel to the fire does work, meaning you have to be poel on the food while the food is cooking. If you didn't do anything while the food is on the flame, so you're not doing anything to the cooking process, setting up the barbecue, you know, building it and doing everything beforehand, lighting the fire, we could care less about. That has to be done in the process of the cooking itself, even if it's negligible, but it just needs to be while the food is actually cooking. And this is what the Shach cites, and the citing of the Ran, that the Gemara clearly says that it needs to be impacted by the Jew, and the Graz, we said, and the Chacham HaSadim writes, Ach mipnei hadochak yesh tesmoch al mekilim. He says, only if you need to can you rely on those who are lenient. Desriel lehudu adin hadlokas ha'esh, it's enough to light the fire, o shenafach be'esh, or to blow the fire, o chisa gechalam, afilu chitu below kavana, o hashlachas kesa mahani. Vizart lechadchila shiyira she'achitoi moil lekarev habishol. Says the Chachmas Adam, those are mekilim we should not rely on. We should not rely on the Ramah. You need to do something actually in the bishul process with the food, working with the fire at the same time. U'bidiyeved, afil lo ho'il ein koach limchos. Bidiyeved, if someone does rely on the Ramah, so you can't object, but people should be machmer to not rely simply on turning on the fire. L'chadchil, it should be done with the Jew doing something themselves in the cooking process. The fourth sheet is that of the Taz. The Taz says you can only rely on the Ramah, the Beis Yisrael. If it's the Beis Yisrael, and you turn on the fire, so the Taz says that is fine on its own. Now, a pilot light. What do we say about a pilot light? So the Ramah, as we said, it's preferred in l'chadchila. The Chachmas Adam doesn't think it should be used l'chadchila, but pilot light would seemingly be okay according to the Chachmas Adam. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that the pilot light should only be used b'shas hadchak in a Beis Yisrael. Yeah. What's a pilot light? Okay, sorry, we are in the 21st century. Let's go back to the 20th century. So a pilot light is as follows. We'll see in a second why we don't have them nowadays. But a pilot light is an oven in which there is a small flame that's constantly being fired by the gas coming into your apartment or house. It's more commonly found in apartment buildings, especially in Washington Heights. And there's a little flame underneath the cover of the stove. And when you want to have a fire on the burners of the stovetop, so you light the gas, and the gas comes in, and it takes that little flame that's always there and essentially picks it up, and it turns on the burner on top so you can use it. So there's always a fire constantly running underneath your oven that you as a Jew set up when you had the oven installed or you moved into your apartment or your house. Okay? So the light is always there. This connects the idea of lighting me'esh le'esh, as the Ramah seemingly allows to take a fire lit by a Jew, and the guy will then take from that fire and light their own oven or their own stove, and that would be sufficient. This is the shita of the Ramah. The Chachmas Adam is saying it's not so great. The Aruch HaShulchan is saying only b'shas hadachak. So how do we relate to pilot lights? And this is important because there could be some I don't know what the opinion of the Vat is, but there are certainly restaurants in certain places that do rely on this idea of the pile of light. So, surprisingly, the Chalkas Binyamin in Sifkatan Pei Dalad seems to like pile of lights. In Sifkatan Pei Beis, he's unsure. I'm a little confused about why he would seem to like it, because he's machmer about everything else. So I'm not exactly sure why he's so into pile of lights. Okay, now, what's the opinion of Moshe? So in the Rishumei Aaron, Chelek Aleph, and Rabbi Ginsburg, Divrei Chachamim, so they both quote Rav Moshe as being machmer when it comes to pile of lights. It says it should not be used, it should not be relied on, and the fire needs to be turned on each time by the Jew, according to Rav Moshe. The Ruvo Sephraim, Rabbi Greenblatt, cites Rabbi Abadi in Chelek Gimel, who doesn't allow pile of lights as well. And by first in his shirim seems to say that Ramosha maybe did allow pile of lights, but I'm not exactly sure what he was saying. And also Rosh Sternbach and Chelek in the same tshuva says that there should be no use of pile of lights. If you rely on pile of lights, says Rosh Sternbach, then we're just going to kick out all of Bishul Akum from Jewish homes. We're going to forget about it. We're going to forget there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch all about Jews not cooking for you. And therefore Rosh Sternbach says it needs to be machmer. The Shraga HaMeir of Shnilbag writes in two tshuvas in Chelek Dal and Chelek Hay that you allow a pile of light b'diyeved in a Beis Yisrael. Again, b'diyeved doesn't mean I'm hungry. B'diyeved means that if the guy cooks on a pile of light in your house, you can still eat it. But never that you should instruct the guy to cook something on the pile of light. The last shita is the Beis Avin Chelek Davin Kufchav Dalad, who allows a pile of light with a tziruf of a combination of a shivcha and a Beis Yisrael. That case, you can allow a pile of light. A pile of light and a Beis Yisrael with a shivcha. That would be, he says, okay, not for yeshiva. He doesn't think the yeshiva should be machmer, but on a Beis Yisrael, he thinks it would be fine. Rosh Shechter, also citing the Lev Aryeh, Radayin Grosnus, so he doesn't like using pile of lights in a restaurant, because going me'esh la'esh, from fire to fire is b'diavad, but he says, if there's a pile of light in a Beis Yisrael with a shivcha who's paid, and the Jews are makbid on the kashrus in the home, then there's room to allow it in such a case to use the pile of light. Rav Heinemann has a whole fancy thing about the pile of light is close to the top of the stove, so it's already heating up the stove, versus if the pile of light is away from the top of the stove, so the pile of light is not heating up the top of the stove already, kind of like the glow plug discussion we had a while ago. So there he wants to be lenient depending on the type of pile of light and how much fire or warmth the pile of light gives to the stovetop beforehand. Also very unclear. And if you look in Rabbi Forrest's Kosher Kitchen on page 300, so he says that nowadays you will not, it's getting harder and harder to find stoves or ovens with pile lights, because since the energy crisis in the late 20th century, government regulations resulted in the discontinuation of the pile lights in most ovens. And therefore, the pile lights are coming out of fashion. I want to note a very interesting comment, discussion, version in the Halichos Shlomo. The Halichos Shlomo, this is in the Moadim on Rosh Hashanah. This is in Perek Gimel, where they're talking about what to do during Aseres Mei Tshuva. Now, they did quite an editing job over here, and it's very impressive, because if you wouldn't have known what to look for, so then you could have gone right by it, and you wouldn't have noticed two totally separate versions. In the version that I have over here, so this is on page Mem Beis in Ha'ara 11. In the note 11, there's a whole beautiful drasha here about Aseres Mei Tshuva and being metahar yourself. This whole beautiful shtickle Torah. And it's very nice, but it's totally different than what's in another version of the Halicha Shlomo. On the same page, on page Mem Beis in 11, they did something very smart. They put a whole new shtickle Torah in, but it's the same exact amount of lines and words. So you don't notice the difference until you read them and you see that the two things are totally separate. Because in the other version of the Halicha Shlomo, he records a letter that was written down by someone who involved in Kashas from America, who went to visit Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach and was asking him questions. And I guess Rosh Shlomo Zalman felt that this person was coming not just for kulas, but coming, you know, to really ask shilas. And he kind of, I don't know, let his hair down. He kind of explained to him what he thought about the situation of Kashas in America. And he writes some very startling things that I'm not going to say right now. It's Ayin Sham. But within that discussion, he talks about pile lights. And there he says, that regarding which the Ramo is Makel, lighting me'esh la'esh, she'yesh la'achmer dim ha'vir ha'yisrael esh katana, pilot, mutter she'yadlik mimena ha'nachri tachas sir echad bilvad. He says a pie light is only good underneath that area of the stove. Each part of the stovetop needs its own pilot light. You can't have one pilot light going to each individual spot. I'm not exactly sure how that would work or what that oven would look like, but Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is very, 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 very against using pilot lights. He thinks the Ramah is a tremendous cooler that should not be relied on at any time, and certainly one who's a Yirei Shemayim, he says, should avoid relying on these issues of lighting the light and Eish La'esh and all these different things. He's very much against all these things, Ayin Sham, in that version of the Halicha Shlomo. The last thing is just from the Minchas Yatzrak in Chelek Zayin regarding Lifnei Iver. Is it Lifnei Iver for an Ashkenazi restaurant to sell something to a Sephardi who doesn't rely on the Ramah? So he says, no, it's not Lifnei Iver. He says, it might only be Lifnei Iver on his Rabbanan, and he quotes a lot of the Sephardim to discuss Lifnei Iver by his Rabbanan, combined with the fact that there's so many Tzirufim Lekula when it comes to these issues of Bishul Akum. He says that an Ashkenazi store or restaurant doesn't have to be worried about selling things that have issues of Bishul Akum according to the Sephardim.